and welcome to Wood with Handle, the baseball podcast for fans by fans. This is episode 23 for the week of September 16th. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Brad.
Josh will not be with us this week. Before we get started, we'd just like to take a quick moment of silence and send our hearts and thoughts to all those impacted by the Naval Yard tragedy this morning in Washington. We're down to the last couple of weeks of the season here. We're really in the thick of things. Playoff situations and wild cards are heating up. I guess the big story for the wild card this weekend is Cleveland's had a bit of a resurgence here. Do you think they can catch Tampa or Texas? They're only 5-game back right now.
I think they can. Their schedule is really easy. They have obviously a big series with Kansas City this week, which is their biggest challenge. But after that, it's the White Sox for 3, I believe, the Twins, and then the Astros. So no reason they can't win 75% of those games. And I mean, if it plays out, they can get that second or even first wild card spot. So I think they have a great chance.
Right now, it's really anybody's game. I mean, Texas nor Tampa Bay has really wanted to run away with this thing. They both had kind of not too great of a last couple of weeks. Tampa Bay's been struggling a little bit more than Texas has. Texas is completely out of it for the divisional race.
Right.
And Tampa Bay is pretty much out of it. I think Boston eliminated any hope of anybody coming back this past weekend against the Yankees. But I think Cleveland definitely stands a chance, especially if Texas and Tampa keep struggling like they have. And coming down the end, I believe that Tampa and Texas probably have a little bit more. They're a little bit more used to being in these situations. They have a little bit more experience. So I think that Cleveland can definitely catch them. And then Texas and Tampa Bay will just have to be on top of it because it's going to be a close race. It's probably going to come down to the last day.
Yeah, with Texas was in the same situation last year, and obviously they got to the wild card but didn't get in. And Tampa Bay, they seem to play games that have been meaningful for the last 3 or 4 seasons. So no reason they can't still hang in there, but Cleveland's playing the best, and their schedule sets them up to get into the postseason, so I guess we're just going to have to wait it out and see what happens.
Yeah,
this 3-game series with Kansas City is going to be huge, though.
Yeah, it's pretty big for both of them because Kansas City's right there, too, and Kansas City down the stretch is one of those teams you really don't want to play down the stretch because they seem to be kind of a buzzkill for a lot of teams, but it's going to be a big week for a lot of teams. There's going to be a number of teams that are going to clinch this week and a number of teams that are just going to have to, this week is going to be make or break for a lot of teams. And hopefully it's going to be fun to see what happens this week. Cleveland's right there. And another team, do you think the Washington Nationals actually have a shot of getting into this wild card?
You know, right now they're playing really good. They've got a lot of momentum, but I think for them, too little, too late. They got off to such a slow start and all these teams got way ahead of them. So I think for them, too little, too late.
Yeah, they're trying to catch really, really good teams in front of them. I mean, really, they're behind Cincinnati, and I think they were 5 games back at Cincinnati. And then I don't foresee Cincinnati falling apart. They haven't played well in the last couple of weeks, but like you said, it's just too little, too late. And but it's great to see this resurgence from Washington because they were just in such a big hole. And I think the stat I heard this morning, they've won 25 of 35, so they've really been on it this last week or last month and a half playing really well. And it's too bad they started so bad because right now they're definitely in the thick of things, but I don't think they're actually going to be able to have a shot just because they buried themselves too much at the beginning.
I agree with that.
And then kind of sticking with the playoffs here, we're going to see this week and the next 2 weeks how the playoff draws are going to find out. But if the postseason were to start today, Tampa and Texas would be in the wild card game over in the AL, and then the winner of that wild card game would go on and play Boston. And then Oakland and Detroit would start off in the first round. That's not really a great matchup for Detroit right now because Oakland's been one of the hotter teams in baseball the last couple months, and Detroit's been kind of just steady as she goes. So how do you think that would work out for Detroit? Because I don't think anybody's going to beat Boston right now, but how do you think that matchup looks for Detroit?
Right now, I think it'd be very difficult for them to advance out of the divisional playoff because Oakland's doing it with the long ball and they have good pitching and they seem to have a good speed on the bases. Whereas Detroit, their power hitting's kind of gone down a little bit. Cabrera hasn't hit a home run in about a month and he's struggling running the base paths, and they have great starting pitching, but still that bullpen is kind of iffy. And I just don't think it's a good matchup for Detroit, especially with the way Oakland's playing. Because they have, I think, a better all-around club right now than Detroit does.
I think if you're Detroit, this is kind of worst-case scenario. You're winning your division, and all you get for winning your division is a first-round meeting with Oakland.
Right.
And if everybody remembers back last season, Oakland was eliminated in the playoffs by Detroit after Oakland got up 2-0 on Detroit in the first round. It was in the first round, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Oakland got up 2-0, and Detroit stormed back, and then there was the whole thing with the kissing the ball from Al Albuquerque. So I think Oakland's definitely going to have a chip on their shoulder coming into this series, and I don't see why if the playoffs were to start today, but I don't foresee any major changes happening right there in that division unless for some reason Cleveland were to sneak up and get Texas or Tampa. But I think that's kind of worst case scenario for Detroit because Miguel Cabrera isn't playing at 100% right now.
Not at all.
Justin Verlander hasn't been great this year. They've gotten stellar pitching. They're probably going to win a Cy Young from Max Scherzer, and then they're going to have Sanchez and Pfister. But you never really know what's going to happen with the bullpen. It's always shaky. And Detroit really does count on the long ball, and they haven't played well in the last month or so here. So I think they're probably trying to back in just a little bit if they can get a little hot here. But this matchup definitely favors best for Oakland.
I agree.
And then I really don't see anybody going to beat Boston, even whoever comes out of the Oakland-Detroit matchup. I don't think that Boston – I think Boston will go to the World Series.
Oh, I totally agree. Their pitching's good, and they can do it with a long ball and play small ball. Plus, all their players seem to be coming together with those beards.
Yeah. Look, if there was any doubt in Boston, I think they put that to rest this weekend because they just basically stomped and took any life that the Yankees had and just kind of buried it right there. So, it's definitely doesn't favor well for Detroit. It favors best for Boston. So I probably think right now Boston's the favorite to make it in the World Series. And then over in the NL, if things change today, and this is going to change a lot because there's a lot of teams flip-flopping. It's Pittsburgh and St. Louis are battling for that division. I think Cincinnati will probably get that second wild card. But if it were to finish today, you'd have a toss-up between St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Whoever gets in that wild card would then play the wild card game against Cincinnati, and whoever won would play the Braves. If you're Pittsburgh, what do you want? Would you rather be in the wild card game, or would you rather win that division? Because I know where I'm going.
I don't know. I just think having to play that wild card against a team you know would be difficult than having to come back and play a series is always hard, especially with your pitching. But, having to start out, I think they would start out with L.A., wouldn't they? The Dodgers, if they won the division?
Yeah, no matter who wins that division is going to play L.A. in the first round. L.A.'s probably going to clinch this week.
I would – boy, that's hard. I would think maybe you would want to do the wild card and take your chances against the wild card team. And then, because I think the Braves have just kind of been on cruise control for the last couple months because no one's getting close. No one's been close to them.
Well, they've been so dominant.
And I think maybe for Pittsburgh, maybe that wild card spot would be the best spot because having to travel, take a big travel all the way out to LA and that crowd's going to be huge for them. They've got a lot of momentum, even though Puig is out right now. But I still think they might want to take their chance. Maybe the wild card would be a better situation for them.
Look, for me, it goes like this. If you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, you want to win the division. And here's why. If you don't win the division, you go into that playoff, that one card wild card play, or that one game wild card playoff, all bets are off. There's essentially no guarantees anywhere. At least if you win the division, you get a shot at more than one game with LA. And LA, they've probably been the hottest team in baseball for a long time now. But at least you guaranteed more than one game. You can play yourselves out of a jam if you have to. Where I think St. Louis is probably built to weather whoever they're playing with. If you're Pittsburgh, you need more than a one game playoff. They haven't been there. They're unexperienced, and I think that a four game series is better for them than a one-game playoff because Cincinnati could essentially jump up and bite you. And if you're Pittsburgh, you want to win that division. You don't want to take any chances with it.
Yeah, I guess seeing your point kind of comes down. That would probably be the best situation for them because, they've guaranteed themselves their first winning season in a long time. The fans are into it there. And also, they just have a lot going for them. I think losing it all after all that they've accomplished in a one-game playoff would probably hurt them in the long run as far as next year than maybe help them.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge letdown. If you make it into that playoff card after all the success they have and then you lose in that first game, essentially the season is a total failure. Yeah, you finished over 500. You've been better than you have in 20-some years. But you essentially didn't do anything. You made it to that game, and then you flamed out. Whereas if you win that division, at least you have a chance to play more than one game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think here's the thing with Atlanta. I think Atlanta is going to be the best team to get beat out in the first round because I think both Pittsburgh, St. Louis, or Cincinnati can beat them. I don't think Boston or Atlanta's hitting is all that great, and their pitching definitely has been a little shaky this year. They built up such a lead that it hasn't mattered. But I think they're going to be the best team, probably the top-seeded team in that division or in the NL to get beat in the first round.
Yeah, they've essentially been on cruise control since about middle of July with that big lead. And it's just like an NFL team sitting on their players after they've clinched a playoff spot for the last 2 weeks. You kind of just, you know, even though you're playing hard, you're still kind of just on cruise control knowing you've got everything sewn up and in the long run, that could hurt them come playoff time when you have to start playing meaningful games, and you haven't done that since the start of the season.
And you just hit the nail on the head right there. Atlanta hasn't played a meaningful game since the first month of the season.
Nope.
They've been so far ahead where they didn't have to worry about it. And every other team in the playoff from AL or NL has been in some kind of a race. I mean, Boston's had to duel out with Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and New York. Detroit was in a little bit of a struggle. Oakland battled themselves back. And then there's the wild card right now with Tampa and Texas. And then Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Cincinnati have been duking it out all year. L.A. had to fight back. They haven't had such a hard road the last couple months. But, I mean, every team's had more to play for than Atlanta. Atlanta's essentially been on cruise control since it would have been June. So, I mean, they haven't really had to play. I mean, yes, they play meaningful games. That means something. But essentially, they've been on such cruise control that they haven't had to worry about it. Now they're right there where they need to turn it on. And you just don't know what you're going to get out of them because you haven't had to really, I mean, step on the gas pedal at all. So knowing what you know now, essentially, here's where I'm going to throw the situation out. Assuming that Pittsburgh wins the division and it's St. Louis and Cincinnati in that wild card, and then Pittsburgh gets a draw with LA and then whoever wins the wild card plays Atlanta, realistically, who do you see coming out of the NL?
I think that it's got to be an NL Central team. I'm still gonna go with St. Louis. I just like them. They've been there the past couple seasons. They're playoff tested. I think Pittsburgh would still be in the newbie shock, and I think they would essentially lose to LA probably in a 5-game series. And Cincinnati and I think St. Louis and Atlanta. I think St. Louis would essentially sweep Atlanta. And then it would be St. Louis beating L.A.
You're going to say that St. Louis sweeps Atlanta? You don't even give Atlanta one game?
No. They haven't played a meaningful game, and I just think St. Louis has pretty much been playing meaningful games all year, and
yeah.
I can't see Atlanta beating them.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, but I right now, assuming that Pittsburgh wins the division like we are, I think St. Louis wins the wild card game. St. Louis beats Atlanta. I don't think they're going to sweep them. I think maybe Atlanta will win a game or two, but I think St. Louis beats them. And then I think LA beats Pittsburgh, but I think LA is going to go to the World Series. I just think there's too much talent on the team, too good at pitching. Their lineup is as good as it gets. They've got hitting all the way around. Come playoff time, this team hasn't been in the playoffs in a long time. They're going to be super energized. The crowd's going to be into it. So I think that definitely the World Series is going to end up with me. I know I've been saying all year was Detroit from the AL, but right now just looking realistically, I think it's going to be Boston and LA, and if so,
right.
You can't ask for any better World Series than that.
No, I still can't see LA coming out of the NL. I think it's going to be St. Louis just because they're battle tested from the season and from the last few seasons. But I agree that I used to think it would be Detroit, but with the way some of these injuries are plaguing Detroit and their hitting's gone down, I think Boston would have to be the pick from the AL as well.
Yeah, I think this year, probably more so than others. I mean, it's been exciting in past years, but I think this is one of the more intriguing years for playoffs because you really don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You're going to have races, multiple races that are going to come down to the very last couple days. And then in the playoffs, I think some of these matchups are as good as it gets. I mean, you have St. Louis and Cincinnati who know so, but St. Louis, Pittsburgh, or Cincinnati who know each other so well. They've been fighting it out all year, where that's going to be a fun game. And then you just, everything's essentially a toss up, I think, with the wild card game against Atlanta. And then I think LA is probably the only team that I would assuredly get there. And then in the AL, I think that Boston's going to be the team that goes to the World Series, but the other two series are really, really intriguing. You're going to be exciting to watch.
It should be a good, good viewing for fall baseball this year.
Yep.
More so than years past.
Without even thinking about it, who wins the World Series, Boston or who'd you pick? St. Louis?
Yeah.
Who did you pick?
Boston.
Boston. Yep. If it comes down to it, I'm picking LA. Just off the top of my head real quick. But
Boston.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting to watch. A couple other notable things that happened this week. There was a couple retirement announcements. Todd Helton said that he was going to be retiring at the end of the year, and then Vlad Guerrero officially came out and announced his retirement. Vlad's been out for a couple years now, hasn't really been productive, hasn't really done anything. I think he hasn't played at all this year, and I think he played sparingly last year. But I guess Todd Helton and Vlad Guerrero, do you see them getting into Cooperstown anytime soon?
I think Vlad Guerrero more than Todd Helton. Only because of his reputation, more or less. Good all-around hitter, didn't use the gloves, did it with a few different teams. I can see him more than Todd Helton. But then again, Helton's played in the field all his life, whereas Vlad Guerrero was a DH for the last few years of his career because he had a hard time running. So I'd say more of a Vlad Guerrero over Todd Helton because of his reputation. Then again, Todd Helton's got some really good numbers to back himself up too.
Yeah, I think that they both get in. I think that Vlad will get in before Todd Helton will.
Yep, me
just
too.
Just because Vlad Guerrero had such outstanding hitting numbers for a long, long time.
Yes.
A lot of home runs for multiple numbers of teams. I don't think either of them is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think it's going to take a couple rounds for them to get in. And you've never really, and here's the other reason why. So many guys have been, I guess, linked to the steroid accusations. I don't think that Todd Helton's been one of the good guys of the game. He's always been, he's played his whole career at one city and one team. Vlad Guerrero's bounced around a little bit, but neither of them have really been guys that have been linked to steroids. So I think that both of them get in.
Linked to anything.
Yeah.
Or on the radar for any of that.
Yeah. I think they both get in, and it's not going to be soon, but I think they'll both get in.
Yeah. I agree. Not first ballot, but maybe second or third time.
Yeah. But, you know, here's to them. Congratulations. They both had outstanding careers. You can't say enough about him. Like I said, Todd Helton played his whole career in Colorado from the moment they became the Rockies to the time he retired. Had a little bit of the team had a little bit of success, and he's always been a fan favorite. Kind of a big name there. And then Vlad Guerrero was always one of the more exciting hitters in the game. So, you know, congratulations to both guys, and hope they enjoy the retirement. Probably a future Hall of Famer to come here was Derek Jeter. They had officially shut him down for the season. The ankle just never got better. Couldn't get right. So, I mean, is there a bigger picture with Derek Jeter, or is this just a thing where he just needs to heal?
I think he's going to have to take – I think he sits out spring training again this year to heal it, because a lot of his playing depends on his mobility, and the mobility starts with your ankles, and then it works all the way upstream. And if you've seen with a lot of him this year, it was his ankle that led to his knee, to his hip. He had a hard time just moving anyway, and at his age, it's going to take a very long time for him to heal up, and I think he's going to have to sit out all of spring training, and I don't know how much it's going to be for him to play next year, but it's going to take, he's definitely not going to be the same. I can see him even maybe having some of his games cut down where he DHs more than he plays the field.
Yeah, this was going to be my actual question to you. Is Derek Jeter now a full-time shortstop? Can he play every game?
No, he can't. Mobility is an issue, and you're going to have to give him time to rest. He's getting older, and if he wants to finish out playing rather than just sitting, he's going to have to, I think, sit more games and DH rather than play in the field.
If when he does play over field, do they move him out of shortstop? Because I don't think he can play every day as a shortstop. I think he may be able to make it as a second baseman or else a possible DH, but I don't think there's any way that he can play a full season at shortstop. I think he's probably better as a DH, but it's Derek Jeter. You have to play him in the field.
Yeah, I think he might. I mean, just out of respect, you start him at shortstop, and then you see how it goes. And if he starts getting eaten up, I think you have to move him to second base or start making some decisions with him about DHing.
Yeah, I think next year's his last year in contract with the Yankees. Number one, do you think he'll go out? Do you think he'll retire next year? And if he doesn't retire, do you think you'll see him back in the Yankees uniform after next year?
I think he retires. He retires as a Yankee. If he can't, if he finishes out the year next year, I don't think he can go to another team. I think he retires a Yankee. I think that's how he'd want to be I think that's how he'd want to be remembered, rather than someone who just finishes out a season, another team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Derek Jeter definitely will retire as a Yankee. I think that he didn't want to go out like this year. I think next year, if he can be solid, you may see one more year out of him with the Yankees. It'll be kind of a farewell tour, kind of like Mariano Rivera this year. But I don't think he wants to go out as injured or playing kind of half of what he does. I think he wants, maybe if he takes another year to just kind of play here and there, get healthy, and then the next year he comes back and that's his farewell tour. But I definitely think you're going to see him in a Yankees uniform retiring, because he's Mr. Yankee. He's the captain. He's been the face of their franchise for so long. I think you can't go wrong with it. He has to retire as a Yankee.
Yep, I totally agree with that. Seeing him in another uniform, just even though I'm really a Derek Jeter hater, it just wouldn't look right. Would not look right.
Yeah. Josh and I, Josh is a Yankee hater. But we both agree that two of our favorite Yankees of all times, if you have to like somebody, it's Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera. Derek Jeter is as classy as it gets. He's one of the great guys of baseball. You know, he gets respect from everybody. And I think, like you said, it would just be weird to see him in another uniform. It kind of would be like if Cal Ripken were to play another couple of years with another team. It just wouldn't feel right.
No.
I think that Derek Jeter, it's only best if he goes out as a Yankee.
Yep, totally agree.
Yep. And probably closing out kind of a quick episode here this year is the 2014 schedule. Now that we're kind of nearing the finish line and we're going to have the playoffs coming in all of next year, I guess it's right to discuss this a little bit. We discussed it way, way back months ago, Josh and I did. And next year's season is scheduled to open in Sydney, Australia with the Dodgers versus the Diamondbacks. What do you feel about this? You think it's a good thing for the MLB?
I don't know, that's a long travel for both those teams, being in the West Coast and having to travel pretty much around the world to get to Australia just to play a 3-game series. You lose some home games, and it taxes you physically. Baseball already taxes you physically enough with all the travel and not having many days off. I don't like starting there. I think they should traditionally start in Cincinnati like they always have, and I think they should just keep I think they should have their opening games at one of the other at their home team stadium. This traveling halfway across the world just to play baseball just doesn't make sense unless it's like a Major League All-Star team or a United States team playing the Australian national team.
Yeah, see, this doesn't make sense to me at all, and I know Josh would agree with me. This doesn't make sense for either of us. Number one, there's no real baseball market in Australia.
There is.
Yeah, it's primarily soccer and it's rugby. So this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Number one, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks, maybe the Dodgers a little bit more than Diamondbacks, aren't international teams.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, now UCL Puig and then there's Clayton Kershaw's, but they're not really national names or international names where people, you'd say it and you'd be like, oh yeah, I know who that guy is.
Right.
It's nothing like that. Neither of these teams really have that guy that you'd identify as like an international superstar. Number three, really, I don't know why you would take this out of the United States. I know they've done it before. They've done it, and I think it was in Japan. And I think there was one other one. There's somewhere else. They opened a season somewhere else. But they've done it in the past, and what's going to happen is the Dodgers and Diamondbacks are going to open the season, and then there's going to be a full week between games, in which then they're going to come back and open with the interleague games and the first game in Cincinnati a week later. So it just doesn't make sense for MLB to start a week sooner with this series and then have games start later on when they could just come back and just start a thing as normal. And the time difference is always really weird and the feel of it's really weird. It doesn't make sense to me, but obviously if the MLB is doing it, There's been some market research. There's been some analysis somewhere. They have to know what they're doing. They just can't take a shot of it and say, hey, let's go play in Australia.
Mm-hmm. I think if you are going to do that in the future, though, you have to get a few more nationally or worldly known teams, maybe like a New York and L.A. or Boston and L.A., someone like that, just to generate a little bit more interest, even from the people here in the United States, because I don't think really anyone's going to watch that game.
Yeah, and maybe I don't know a whole lot of international players well, but I don't think there's ever been a really huge Australian name to come out and be like a big Australian player. I don't really know who that is. But, you know, like I said, if the MLB's done their research and hopefully it works out for them. But for me, it's weird. The timing's off. It doesn't feel right for me. But, you know, I'm not making any money off of it. MLB's going to be the one that's going to profit or fall from it. So hopefully it works out for them.
Yeah, there'll be people watching for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I probably won't watch because the time difference is so weird.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, it's hopefully it's beginning of baseball, and whenever there's baseball and it's back, it's exciting. Yeah. Yep. It's just hopefully this doesn't take some of the excitement away from it.
I agree.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Just as always, if you want to find us on the internet, we are on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us by searching Wood with Handles. Like always, if whatever you're listening to this on, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, anywhere, feel free to give us a comment, like us, rate us. It really helps. We're always trying to improve the show for you guys. So any little info that you guys can get or any little feedback really helps us. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Brad.
Thanks for listening, guys.